Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato after the trade deadline.
That was fun. It was kind of quiet. It was
up until.
It was a noisy kind of quiet, I think.
Yes, a noisy kind of quiet. So the Thunder didn't trade anyone.
Yeah, and that's why I say quiet, because I will explain myself for saying a dumb term, noisy quiet. It's because
last
night, you know, we talked about it on the last podcast, but that's when the Danilo Gallinari rumors started. Those continued throughout the day until I think it was Woj who was first to report that talks were stalled between the Thunder being involved in a potential three-team trade with the Grizzlies and Heat that would have sent Danilo Gallinari to the Heat and a couple pieces back to match contract for the Thunder. So that didn't end up happening. I mean, just what was your takeaway of the Gallinari deal that was not?
For me, the most fascinating part was how it unraveled. Because according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, really the sticking point was not even the talks between the teams themselves. It was the talks between Gallinari's representation and the Heat. And where that comes in, you have to understand, we have to back up for you to understand why that's important. Because the Heat, A, didn't have a lot of picks that the Thunder can offer, and the Thunder are obviously looking for a trade that could help them in the long run. Obviously, a player could do that, but the Heat seems pretty set on keeping its young core together, as they should be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be a fair trade for them to offer up.
Right.
One
so,
of those
so the
young
Thunder
players
was looking more for a pick than asking for like a Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, maybe none type deal.
I can't speak to that, but I don't see a situation where the Heat would be like, yeah, sure, take mm-hmm. Tyler Hero for just a couple months of Danilo Gallinari, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you're looking at that, because the Thunder has two of the Heat's picks, suddenly the Heat's really limited in what they can give the Thunder. And essentially, if they were to offer a first-round pick, in order to do that, they would have to limit the protections on that 2023 first-round pick, which is top 14 protected for a few years out after 2023. And so in order to get below the seven-year rule, they'd have to limit the protections because you also can't have... You can't offer a future pick that's in consecutive years. So the Thunder could potentially, you know, be taking, if the pick doesn't land or does land in that protected range, Thunder could be bumped mm-hmm. out several more years, and then suddenly you're bumping up against near that 7 year mark, or you've got the consecutive years running into you. I know that's a very confusing way of phrasing that, but essentially, he just really didn't have much that they could do without limiting those protections. And honestly, Danilo Gallinari is a fantastic player, but a first-round pick plus limiting the protections on a pick that you already owe a team is pretty hefty for only a few months. Yet again, only a few
That's
months
right.
of Danilo Gallinari. So in order for any sort of trade to make sense for the Thunder and the Heat, the Thunder would have to be giving them Gallinari for more than just those years. And the way that you are able to do that, and it seems like the way that the Thunder had approached that, is letting the Heat talk to Gallinari's representation and
essentially an extend and trade, basically.
Exactly. So you have them already talk. They're ready to do an extension as soon as you mm-hmm. as soon as you do the trade. I mean, we saw Iguodala.
Same deal.
Exactly. Yeah. So as soon as that doesn't work out, suddenly there's not really a trade there for the reasons that I just said. And so the only way that the Thunder could really have gotten into the weeds of like actually figuring out the deal is if they'd gotten through that first hump, and that seems to be where the talks kind of got, they stopped.
Yeah. It's obviously a lot to sort through. I think that that covers it quite well. Now, I've got a lot of stuff going through my head, so I'll try to have it all make sense as it goes through this microphone in front of me. What I think is fascinating is that Danilo Gallinari and his representation seemingly held quite a bit of leverage in this deal, because clearly as a 31-year-old with injury history, rightfully so, they were pushing for a longer deal. The Heat did not want to give Gallinari a deal that extended beyond the 2021 season. This is important because essentially what was reported by Kevin O'Connor is that it would have been, you know, the Heat would have been offering a 2-year deal with a team option on that second year, so they could decline that. And the reason why that's important, 2021 is a huge date. That's when Giannis is a free agent. Giannis is looming over this whole trade deadline. So the Heat don't want to max out their salary space on potentially Andre Iguodala, Danilo Gallinari, to lose out on pursuing Giannis. And, you know, it's still early. Giannis might decide he wants to stay in Milwaukee, but the Heat are certainly expected to be a factor in that race. So that looms over this whole thing. So, you know, even if the Thunder had a trade in place, I mean, essentially the Heat did not want to do it if it was only going to be a half-season rental.
Right. And then not if it was beyond that.
Yeah, it's the middle ground. Yeah, they don't want too long of a deal, but they also don't want a 1-year deal. Essentially, it would be what Iguodala signed, a 2-year deal with a team option on that second year that they could decline, meaning they free up that space to go pursue what is a very good free agent class in 2021.
I mean, you can totally see why a guy like Gallinari, who's 31, would want to at least explore what his options would be in free agency. To me, Another thing in all of this is that the Thunder is already showing that, I mean, we saw it with how they worked with with Paul George and his representation. We saw it how they work with Russell Westbrook and his representation, that they are very upfront and keep a line of communication going with these agents. And clearly the same thing happened here, and so
that's crucial.
I don't think that they that's just how they do things. They didn't go into it being like, then if we get to the summer, they're gonna want to do a sign and trade with us. But because that's the way that they handle things and the way that they keep, you know, that communication has then laid kind of a foundation when you're going into the summer. And the Thunder, if they want to get anything back from Gallinari, probably have to do a sign and trade, unless Gallinari surprises everyone and says, I'm staying in OKC.
Yeah, and to, you know, I don't think your story is, well, by the time anyone's listening to this, your story kind of recapping everything that happened today with this Gallinari deal will be published. And I think you hit on an important topic that I hadn't really thought about. And it's exactly what you just said, how by going through this process, they've already helped develop that trust between Gallinari and his representation in facilitating the right kind of deal. You don't want to piss off Gallinari now and potentially have him walk for nothing in the summer. It's unlikely, because not many teams will have the cap space to sign him, but even so, you don't want to risk that. The Thunder, absolutely, by keeping Danilo Gallinari on the roster, I think it's fair to say that's a little bit riskier, but the end goal is to still do a sign-in trade, which we've talked about. You either trade him at the deadline or you do a sign-in trade in the summer. And that second option is now the one that the Thunder has circled.
Yeah, and by keeping their sights high on what they want to get back, they put at risk potentially losing him for nothing. But with the Thunder playing like they are right now, they kind of can do that. You know, you if they were in a situation where they had won 20 or 25 games, then suddenly they're at a place where they're kind of just selling, you know, selling, it's a fire sale, right? But because they've been able to be so good, they could essentially keep their sights high on what they're getting back, which I know I, coming into this season, was like, the best thing for the Thunder is to be bad and to get a lottery pick and this, that, and the other. But it's weirdly turned on its head, where because they're good, they've gotten this extra leverage, and we'll see how it pans out and if that ends up turning into something like a first round pick. But that was something that I don't think any of us anticipated.
Certainly not me. I mean, I thought that, I mean, it's hard to anticipate any of this because we didn't think the Thunder would be 31-20 at this point. But even if you are anticipating a surprise season, I didn't think that any amount of success would influence what they do for the future. But I do wonder, like, if they were 20-31 instead of 31-20, do you think they're more likely to make this sort of move? Because I was under the understanding that no matter what the record was, that they were prepared to do something that helped them in the future, regardless of how it impacts this season.
Yeah, I think they're definitely still looking future-oriented, but if they're already trying to get rid of guys, that's kind of, they've already, how do I phrase this? If they're already that bad, there's no reason to keep the gang together, right?
Yeah.
And so going to, it's very different keeping a guy and going to the playoffs and having this be a learning experience for your young team, as opposed to keeping a guy and continuing to suck and just dragging it on out.
The other question that I sort of had in all of this, and it's hard to know the answer because we don't know what the asking price might have been, but if you're the Heat and you look at what their recent moves have been, adding a guy like Iguodala, who I think is 37 years old, it seems like they're really capitalizing on this season. Yeah. And they've got a lot of young pieces, but this season and next season.
And it would have been so good.
It would have been so good. So I'm thinking, okay, if you're Pat Riley, so what if it's a half-season rental? So what if he walks in the future? Now, that obviously doesn't make Gallinari as valuable of an asset, so perhaps what the Thunder would be getting back would not be enough to necessitate that kind of trade. But I just wonder, from the Heat's perspective, they seemingly, as far as reports go, were tied up on having that two-year deal with the club option on the second year to keep him from walking away after this year. But I kind of wonder, like, why not? Why not go all in on this season when you've already added a guy like Iguodala?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we'd have to know exactly what the Thunder's asking price
would
have been in that situation. And whatever it was, they must have valued it as being too high. But it does seem like they're all in on this season. And with Gallinari, you could see them contending for a title potentially. But, you know, how much do you want to jeopardize the future for that? Like, do you want to go all in for one season, or do you want to make a move where you think you could still make a really deep playoff run but also still be set for the future?
Mm-hmm. Another thing that stood out to me is, if it's right that Gallinari and his representation wanted a longer-term deal to, you know, again, as an aging guy in this league who's had an injury history, that, you know, he didn't necessarily just want to jump ship to Miami to join a contender. Like, he's seemingly content being here for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that's another part of the whole, I mean, the 20-win thing. I don't know Gallinari well enough, but, you know, maybe if he's in that situation, he's like, yep, do it.
Yeah.
Get me out.
Yeah, if the Thunder are totally out of the playoff race, why not go join a contender?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's a good point, that maybe the Thunder's success has made him think, okay, I can play this out and see what happens this summer.
Yeah. No harm, no foul.
Which says a lot, I think, for team chemistry, that they stayed together.
Yeah.
And it's especially beyond the team, the fan base, like, I bet a lot of people are happy at this point that the Thunder did nothing.
Yeah, I know. Our coworker Nuria is going to a game tomorrow, and she pulled me over like a week ago and was like, so is everyone going to be gone by then? Like, it's for her birthday. Happy birthday, Nuria. But I think there was so much uncertainty around what the Thunder was going to do. And as you saw, it could have played out either way. They could have traded Gallinari if the price had been right, but they didn't. And now I think that pushes back a little bit the timeline, because the Thunder's next phase is getting rid of their veterans, right? Like, they cannot go into a real rebuild until Gallinari and Chris Paul are gone. You're looking at Dennis Schroeder and Steven Adams this summer will be heading into the last years of their deals. So this summer could be a time when you see a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, the Thunder's going to have to make some really big decisions on what are we doing? Are we staying? Are we going to run back this group? Are we fine with just being okay? Or do we want to go all in now?
Yeah. This time next year could be a lot busier time for the Thunder. The summer could be a busy time trading those guys in the last years of their deal. Same for the next deadline. And then, you know, the only guy that doesn't fit in that timeline is Chris Paul, who's got a lengthier deal. Mm-hmm. But I think those other chips would fall before that.
And, I mean, we were just talking about the communication aspect. Dennis Schroeder last night said that he thinks Sam Presti is like the best general manager around. And his reasoning was that he was honest, which, you know, I'm not going to claim that Sam Presti is the best general manager in the world, but that seems to be a pretty consistent feedback that we're getting from the players. And I think that open communication is a lot.
Another question I've got for you, because you wrote a really thorough piece, I don't know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about the luxury tax and how the penalty for that, because of a lot of financial reasons, but how it might not be as stiff as it once was.
Yeah.
And the Thunder didn't do anything today to get under that tax. So what do you read into that?
That it wasn't nearly as big of a priority as we all made it out to be at the mm-hmm. beginning of the season. I think the Thunder has already cut so much and gone from the most expensive teams in the league to just barely above the tax. And like I said in that piece, you don't have as many. I think at the time that I wrote it, Bobby Marks had reported that was like the second lowest.
Yeah, I think he reiterated that today on Twitter as well, that like the big winners of this are those, you know, the luxury tax isn't as bad as people thought it might be.
Yeah, so, I mean, so then you're not, all the teams who are under aren't splitting that much money. And so, yes, you do get the financial incentive of not having to pay extra for every dollar that you spend over the threshold, but you're also not getting that extra money coming back, that much extra money coming back. And so it's kind of a thing where the Thunder is not going to be in the tax for years to come. You know, they're, as soon as Andre Roberson, you know, finishes up this year, he's a free agent. He obviously has not been playing. So unless the Thunder shocks us and re-signs him, that's coming off the payroll. And so with those guys coming off the books, the Thunder automatically drops under and without a plan to go over mm-hmm. anytime soon. And that's what they did when they first got here from Seattle. and had started in, you know, early in Sam Presti's tenure was this money saving and putting it aside for when they did need to spend big. And they did that. They clearly did that as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant got older, and then especially in the last couple of years with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. And so they're kind of going through that cycle again where they're going to cut costs. That's the replenishing assets in Sam Presti's reposition, replenish, rebuild. So replenishing their financial status, I guess, and then they just will save a bunch of money in the next few years, so it's not that urgent to get under right now.
Can you believe that we're sitting here? It's February 6th. The deadline is passed.
There's snow outside.
There's snow outside. And Justin Patton was the only player traded. Like, Chris Paul, a lot of people thought he'd be traded before he even wore a Thunder uniform.
Yep. To Miami.
Dennis Schroeder in talks.
That's just really good.
Steven Adams, Gallinari. And this season on the court, the results have been totally unpredictable, and same with how the roster looks now versus what we might have expected months ago.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. And I think we all kind of laughed at how adamant Presti was about not using the term rebuild, but this is not what you think of when you think of a rebuild. Making the playoffs is not a rebuild. Winning 31 of your first 51 games is not a rebuild. They're just too good at this point.
It's kind of been fun. It's been really fun to watch sort of a, you know, this roster was pieced together in a way that wasn't built to win this year. Yet somehow you've got these pieces that are winning this year, and they've gelled in a way that has been really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think credit should go to a lot of guys, but Billy Donovan for one, Chris Paul for another.
That's a big one.
And then really all of
Dennis
the
Schroeder
veteran
for
guys.
Accepting his role. I mean,
yeah, I know. When we were talking to Billy Donovan specifically about Chris Paul's influence on the culture, because Dennis Schroeder minutes earlier had said that Chris Paul changed the culture and the way that they played when he was talking about his All-Star selection, which he's, side note, playing for Team LeBron. That happened this evening.
Yeah, I looked at my phone and I was like, that is happening right now?
Yeah,
golly.
Maybe we should have the All-Star draft on a different day than the trade deadline.
It's been a long day.
It's a very long day. But anyways, so, you know, in that context, brought up those comments from Schroeder to Billy Donovan, and Billy Donovan obviously said some great things about Chris Paul and was talking about essentially he didn't have to do that and come in here and really invest in all the people in this team. He could have just, you know, come in and been professional, and no one would have blamed him for it if he just wanted to come in and leave when he was done.
That's right.
But then Billy also said, he was like, Dennis Schroeder's done a lot of that too, where he's pouring into the young guys. And you know, I've heard Abdul Nader, for example, talk about how much he's helped him on defense. And there's a lot of guys you could point out, but it's like, yeah, like you said, it's been a fun and confusing couple of months, or several months, where this haphazard roster that has too many point guards and not enough starting wings has...
And you've turned some of those into the best lineup in the NBA in limited minutes, but that three-point guard lineup, so...
Yeah.
It's been crazy. Any other Thunder trade deadline stuff that we didn't touch on?
Yeah, that's about it.
Well,
we did talk like 30 minutes about them not doing anything.
But
so.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's fascinating in the move that wasn't.
It really is. No, it really is. And the mechanics behind that, mm-hmm. I think, are really interesting and tell you a lot about the Thunder and about how they're approaching this not yet rebuild.
Yeah, like there's a lot of teams out there that didn't do anything, and you probably can't say anything interesting about them doing nothing, but the Thunder doesn't fall into that category.
No. Talk league-wide?
Yeah, a couple. So the big one in the Western Conference does not impact this year at all, but it definitely does next year, and that's the Timberwolves and Warriors trade. The Warriors receive Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 protected first-round pick, a 2020 second-round pick, and the Wolves get back D'Angelo Russell, who has long been rumored to go to the Timberwolves, and they get Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman. So that's just, you know.
I didn't think they were going to pull it off. I was laughing at them because we kept hearing.
Well, I laugh at the Timberwolves all the time.
We kept hearing news of, like, they're not going to trade him. They're not going to trade him. And then we'd hear, Timberwolves are still trying. And they're still trying. And I was like, oh, these guys. And then they pulled it off. Like, I'm sorry for underestimating you.
Yeah, it's an interesting trade because the Warriors, when they signed D'Angelo Russell, I think a lot of people were surprised at the fit of how he would sort of mesh in a backcourt with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. That never really was able to happen because of the injuries, but now you look at it and they seem to have, you know, they completely moved on from that idea and hope the fit is better next year with Andrew Wiggins when they return a fully healthy roster. So it's Andrew Wiggins, who has been a disappointment based on where he was drafted and what his contract is, but definitely something to watch next year to see how that works.
Yeah, it's kind of a situation where you have a guy who, and Andrew Wiggins, who hasn't panned out how we thought he would, and then a guy in D'Angelo Russell whose season hasn't panned out how we thought it would, especially after what they gave up to get him this summer. So, yeah, it's kind of them swapping their, I don't want to label anyone as a disappointment, but like,
there's really no choice. Like, I don't want to do that either, but it's just like, when you're the top pick, when you get paid that much money, it's two teams basically trading these guys and hope it's better with the other one.
Right.
Like
maybe,
a change of
maybe
scenery.
Just need a change of scenery.
Yeah. Another
different weather.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins gets the
gets to warm up.
A deal with more ramifications on the top of the Western Conference race. The Clippers, I was watching ESPN had a really good trade special with the crew that's usually on the Jump with Rachel Nichols, Zach Lowe, Kendrick Perkins was on there, Paul Pierce, a lot of people. And they were basically monitoring the back and forth between the Clippers and the Lakers. Who's going to get Marcus Morris? Who's going to get Marcus Morris? The Clippers went out. Apparently, the Lakers weren't willing to move Kyle Kuzma in a deal to the Knicks. So the Clippers get Marcus Morris, and maybe that'll be enough to sort of separate them at the top of the West.
Yeah. I'm still mad at him for his comments the other day.
Sorry. No. I'm only talking about trades here.
No. Yeah. I think the Clippers are a team that we haven't seen enough of them completely healthy to really judge how they're going to do in the postseason. But
yeah.
But so far have felt like they were about a trade away from really being dominant, and the Lakers have panned out so much better than we thought, and so that's really an even more, we knew that it was going to be an exciting rivalry this season, but with the Lakers being even better than we thought, it's been fantastic. And so if you can get both these teams really fighting for the top of the Western Conference, could be
That's fun.
Thrilling.
And it's been easy to ignore Marcus Morris this year because he's been playing for the Knicks.
I know.
But he is shooting, like, incredible percentages from three. He's really, like, at the most efficient point of his career, which is hard to believe. So could be a big upgrade for them. And a trade that made me sad was and one that impacts the game here tomorrow. The Thunder host the Pistons on Friday night. Is the Pistons traded Andre Drummond to the Cavs for, please listen, Brandon Knight, John Henson, and a second round pick. This is now, it's a salary dump. That's all it is. Like, the Pistons are moving on from Andre Drummond, who has an old school game. He leads the league in double doubles, he leads the league in rebounding, but he's just the traditional center who doesn't stretch the floor, and those guys aren't as valuable. So when you've got a contract like that, it's just kind of sad that they moved on from their franchise guy for John Henson, Brandon Knight, and a second rounder.
Yeah. They're not quite comparable, but if the Thunder had been, we had talked about, you know, the theoretical, if they'd won 20 games, you might see them making more moves kind of like this. You know, it's not, Gallinari is not Andre Drummond, and
this is what people thought the Chris Paul trade might have to look like.
Yeah,
like, where
exactly.
They get nothing valuable in return. All it is to get that salary off your books.
Yeah, so, also, Presti does weird things that none of us expect, so it probably wouldn't, he probably would have figured out how to do something weird and different, but yeah. When you're bad.
Going from the Pistons to the Cavs, too, for Drummond.
The Cavs just in such a, I mean, talk about sad. The Cavs are in a very sad place.
Yeah, so are the Pistons.
Yeah.
Both of those teams. And coincidentally, those are the back-to-back teams that Oklahoma City has played. Which made me think, with Brandon Knight did not play the other, I'm going to try to say, not say Knight, but I will. He did not play against the Thunder. John Henson did. Clearly he flew back with the team, but it's funny that, I don't know how soon things might
get processed. They should have just stayed here.
He could have just stayed in Oklahoma City.
Hung out. Waited for...
Hey, you're about to be traded to the Pistons. Just
they're gonna,
stick around
they're gonna
in
be
Oklahoma
here
City.
In 2 days.
The weather's great.
They'll pick
Enjoy
you up.
Enjoy the city.
So great. Have fun in the snow. Don't get injured before they get here.
What else? Any other trades stick out? I feel like those are the big
those
ones. Those are the big ones. The Wiggins-Russell was probably the blockbuster trade of the day, just the as far as big names go.
Yeah, and then the... I mean, we mentioned the Heat and...
Yeah, we've talked about that.
That
I like what the Heat have done. I would have liked them more had they found a way to work out
Gallinari.
A Gallinari deal, but, man, that just would have made them so stacked.
It's so good.
But
yeah, I don't know what their buyout market situation is. I'd have to look more closely at if they have a roster spot and this, that, and the other. But
yeah, that'll be the next day to watch. Beginning of March, I think.
We'll see. Yeah, so March 1st is the deadline to decide a buyout guy and have him be available for the playoffs. And you wouldn't want to assign him and have him not be available for the playoffs. So those signings will happen before then.
Yeah, and that stuff could be happening soon.
Now.
Because a lot of these trades have created buyout cases. Like, for example, Deion Waiters traded from the Heat to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have waived him, so he's a candidate. Isaiah Thomas.
That was my saddest.
Was traded to the Clippers. He's not going to stick around, so another candidate.
I've never covered Isaiah Thomas. I've heard great things. He's also a small guy from Seattle. That Celtics year was incredible. And
it really was fun.
It's hard not to like him.
Yeah.
I want him to end up on a good team. And have a good rest of his career.
I agree with that. Fun deadline day. We made it through.
So fun. Now we get to write about All-Star.
Yeah. You're going. Do people know that?
I don't know. But I'm stoked both for the
I'm stoked for all of you listening that you get to read Maddie's coverage from All-Star Weekend.
And Dame's going to prove
No, that is not the most important part. I know you are, like, personally looking forward to that, but that is not what you're bringing our readers.
No, you guys won't have to hear my musical review of Damian Lillard.
I'm sure someone will write it.
I want Victor Oladipo now to perform it at one of these things, but that's Thunder related.
That is, and more Thunder related All-Star news. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to participate in the skills challenge. Derrick Rose had to step out because of an injury, and Shai will take his place.
Yeah, so to recap, we've got Shai in the Rising Stars game, Shai in the skills challenge game. And Chris Paul in the All-Star game. No Hamidou Diallo in the dunk contest, but we covered that yesterday. We won't go over it again.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. There's a lot of relevant stuff that pops up All-Star weekend, and I am stoked to bring it all to you. Yeah.
Is that all we've got?
I think that's it. All right, thank you everybody for tuning in to this trade deadline edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast.
Special edition.
We need to get a sound cue there. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, your neighbors, your pets. Subscribe. Make sure all of them subscribe. It's free. And we will see you tomorrow, Friday, for the Pistons game.